Joshua chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. 4 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan. Take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? And ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. As the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, while everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye are passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray your blessing upon it as we look into it this day, Lord. And in the day that we are in, Lord, that you would draw our attention to the things we need to remember that are important, that we would remember all that you have done on our behalf through the years, Lord. And we just pray you would help us to always keep sight of those things. Just pray your blessing upon our time together this day, Lord, as we fellowship around your word with one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As with all of Scripture, the book of Joshua has great relevance and significance to us today, much more than we might even assume at first glance, that the historical events and details recorded therein serve as a historical object lesson to illustrate to us certain spiritual truths which can help guide us in our present day. As mentioned last week, one would expect that the general emotion of the children of Israel would be one of excitement. They have waited for so long to get to the promised land. They're finally entering it in. They've seen it with their own eyes. Now they're treading upon it with their own feet. And we read that the men passed over armed and prepared for war, that they were ready to fight They were excited and sort of chomping at the bit, as it were. I have a cousin that competes in jousting competitions, and he has two or three horses that he uses, and one of them is a Percheron mare. And of course, in more recent times, Percherons have been used as draft horses, but they were bred for centuries to be war horses. And it's just kind of something that they're used to. And so for him, he's found with her, and he enjoys using her in the jousts, because after she does it once or twice, she just gets so excited about it that it's just she wants to go again, that he gets her in the starting blocks, and he has to kind of hold her back to keep her from just running away, because she wants to go back and do it again. That's kind of how I think that the Israelites felt, that they were ready to go, they were excited. But it seems in many ways that Joshua in the last chapter, and even in this chapter and the chapter to come, seems to be holding them back, that there's different things that they have to do first before they can go. And you could think that perhaps they were wondering, well, why do we have to do these things? We're ready to fight, or so they thought. But we understand that there are certain things that were of extreme importance, things that could not be neglected, that we recognize from this chapter, the previous chapters, and we'll see in the chapter to come, that Joshua is giving these orders because he's directed by God. That everything he is told to do, God has told him for a reason. And we can make application to that with our Christian life as well, that often when we're first saved, we have such a zeal, we're ready to storm the gates of hell with a squirt gun. But if we're to fight the good fight of faith, and not only fight it, but emerge victorious, there are things which we must not overlook. And the children of Israel had passed through the Jordan River on dry land by the power of God. And as we mentioned last week, the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God amongst them, led them through the waters. And with His presence came His power, His protection. And what seemed like an impossible barrier was pushed back by the hand of God. And as we read in verse 10 of the previous chapter, the Lord said, or Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." That, in other words, this event was to serve as proof to them that God was going to fulfill all of His promises unto them, that they would emerge victorious and possess all the land that God had promised unto them. And so as they, as a people, have crossed over to the other side, it wasn't something where they just kept going. And we see that the priests and the ark remained in the now dry riverbed of the Jordan River, and before they traveled over, there was something important that needed to be done. And so Joshua called upon a representative from each of the 12 tribes to, as they passed through the river, by where the priests and the ark stood firm, that each of them was to take a stone from the riverbed. That we don't know exactly how big these stones were, but we would assume that they're of substantial size, and being river stones, they would definitely be rounded and formed by the erosion of the waters. But they were to take these stones out and bring them up onto the bank, and together that they would erect a cairn that was ever after to serve as a memorial of this event. And so not only did they erect this cairn of stones on the bank of the Jordan, but we read as well that Joshua himself took 12 stones that were on the river's edge, and he went and put them in the midst of the Jordan, about where the priests stood. And of course, they would mostly be covered by the waters when they returned to their normal flow, yet they would be visible above that. And it would be clear just by seeing them that these were things that were placed there by man. And so they would serve as historical markers, much as the same way if you go to any site of a battlefield around the world, that usually they have different markers. I remember my brother took pictures of, he went to the Battle of Little Bighorn, and they have all these kind of spots where they figure, well, this is where this person fell and different things happen, and that's, there's different historical markers. And I remember that when he and I were able to visit the battlefield of Culloden, that there's, it's a huge battlefield, but you see all these different piles of stones, and in each one there's a plaque, and it says, well, this is what happened at this place. And we think of it even here in Saskatchewan, when we're driving down the highway, that so often you see this sign on the side of the road, historical point of interest. And you stop by and you see it, there's a little plaque, and it tells an important event that happened there. That it can be something, I know there's one, I think it's near Fisk, that I've never actually stopped by it to see what the plaque reads, but you know there's, that's there because something significant happened there. And until you actually stop and see and take a moment, you don't know what happened there. It might be something of great significance. And so you think of it here in this place, on the banks of the Jordan River, near the place of Gilgal, that as you would pass through this area in time to come, that these two stone cairns, one on the banks of the river, one in the river itself, would naturally catch your attention. They are obviously be man-made. They are not natural formations. And they were there to silently testify to this important event in the nation's history, an event by, in which, by God's grace and power, the nation was brought from a place of frustration and futility to a place of blessing and fruitfulness and rest. And so seeing these stones in time to come would remind them that they now all enjoyed, all that they enjoyed came as a result of the great things God had done in the past. That it was a situation where they had no solution in and of themselves, but God provided a way. God had done this by His power. And it would cause them to value and not take for granted what they had received of God as a result. And it would naturally also cause them to fear and reverence Jehovah as the Almighty God. And furthermore, seeing these stones would give them a hope for the future. They would be reminded, this is what God did on our behalf in the past. And because He was able to do this, and because He changes not, it would give them the assurance that in future conflicts, no matter how fierce the enemy might be, that God was with them, and His presence and power and protection would give them the victory. But most of all, we recognize from this passage that these stones would provide a teachable moment for future generations. Many of them would have seen this with their own eyes, and this event would no doubt have stuck in the minds of any that were old enough to remember. But there would have been younger ones that were too young to remember. I know different things with our kids. We try to describe it to them, and they have absolutely no memory of it. We remember exactly what they said, but it's just a blank to them because they're too young. And that'd be the same with many of the younger children. And of course, in time to come, there'd be many more children that would be born that did not experience this. And so these stone cairns would cause them to wonder. Their curiosity would get the better of them, and they would ask, well, what mean these stones? Why are these stones here? What were they placed here for? And that would provide their parents the opportunity to explain to them what happened. And we see that in verse 21. And speaking the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And so these stones were to serve as a memorial unto them for many years to come, that they were stones of remembrance, that they would provide an opportunity for both the parent and the child to be reminded of the great things that God had done on their behalf. And this is certainly something that we can relate to in the present day, and especially in this present day in which we celebrate a Remembrance Day. With the wearing of the poppy, with the 2 minutes of silence, we observe other things, the laying of the wreaths and other things, that there's much to provide opportunities for both parents and children to be reminded of what has happened in the past. As well, in pretty well much every town in Canada, there are monuments and cenotaphs dedicated to the remembrance of those who gave their lives so that we might live in freedom. I recall as a young boy, I don't know how old I was, but it's one of my earlier memories, that as a family that we visited the cemetery in Castor, the place where I grew up for the first time, in my memory at least, and it's on the outskirts of the town, and it's kind of off by itself, and the main part is surrounded by deciduous trees, and it's a fairly quiet place, but the wind blows through it. But I remember seeing on the west side that there is this one area that was entirely surrounded by evergreen trees. And I remember there was kind of a bush that, of course, I didn't try to go around to find the gate. I just kind of pushed through the bush because I was little and got into this place. And even though it was windy in the rest of the cemetery, and here it was still and it was quiet. And I remember getting in there and seeing that there are these rows of gravestones, and at the very end that there is this large stone cairn that had been erected. And I wasn't able to read at the time, and so I didn't know what it all meant, but it was something that naturally, as a child, you ask your parents, what is this? And they explained that it was called the Field of Honor. It was something, and I learned more of this later, that there is this one gentleman that he had served in the First World War, but he was only really kind of in the service branch of bringing supplies. He didn't really see a lot of combat himself, but he knew a lot of people that did. And he came back and he was the town grocer, but it was something that he and his son, they spent many years planting trees and erecting this stone cairn in memory of those that had fallen. And so it was something that had been done, that someone saw that it was very important that these people be remembered, that what happened be remembered, and that it was something that stands to this day, and we understand and recognize throughout so many towns throughout Canada that we see that same thing. It might be made with different stones, it might be made in different ways, but it's still there as something to remember. And we realize they're placed there for a reason. There's deep significance to them. And their presence provides us a teachable moment from one generation to another. And it's something as a parent now that it's come full circle, that once when I was a child, I had to have it explained to me why we do these things. Why do we wear a poppy? And now I find myself explaining that to our children, the significance and importance of these things. And so we recognize that in so many different ways that it is important for us to learn to remember. As humans, we need to have things in our life to help us to remember, that we have a tendency to forget things, that these things serve as a reminder to us, bring things back to our attention. We get busy with life, we get focused on the everyday. It's easy to lose sight of what's truly important. It's easy to take for granted the things that we enjoy. That we live in a land of freedom and peace where we can gather together as God's people and worship according to the dictates of our conscience without fear of harassment or persecution. And that is a blessing that many people in this world do not enjoy. And we enjoy these freedoms today because of what others have done on our behalf. The price of our freedoms were paid in blood. Many women, or men and women, in the prime of their lives, gave up their youth, traveled to a far-off land to fight the foe that threatened the world, and many of them gave the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives on our behalf. And though war is never something we seek to glorify, we cannot help but be moved by the sacrifice made for us. And so we remember the veterans, we remember the fallen, and in gratitude we honor them this day. But ultimately, as we remember them, we also give honor unto God Himself for raising up what one has called the greatest generation to fight so that we wouldn't have to. For directing by His unseen hand the outcomes of various battles, that ultimately victory might be achieved. That it's actually something that, if as you study some of the history of what has happened, and especially in the different wars, that always with the eye that you have the different things that happen, and of course different people get the victory, but sometimes just looking at the weather forecast, or what happened to the weather for that day of the battle, that for instance at Vimy Ridge, of how that there was a snowstorm and that the snow was blowing in the eyes of the German trenches, not in the eyes of the Canadians. That you think of Dunkirk, when the evacuation happened, that it seemed the whole Allied armies that were on the continent of Europe were going to be swept up and captured by the Axis powers, that there is a very low fog that the planes wouldn't be able to see the ships, but the boats, even these small boats that went across the channel to rescue these soldiers, that they were able to make across. And even different things of happening in D-Day and other times, you look at the forecasts or the weather events that happen at those times, and you know that that's not something that any human had any control over, that God had His hand in. And we realize that with everything that happens as nations rise and fall, that God has His hand in these things. And He uses different of individuals, He raises up different men and women, but it is His hand of what He has done. And as we see that, as we kind of look beyond just kind of the official history and we see His hand in these things, it moves us to reverence, it moves us to gratitude, it moves us to a greater appreciation of the things that we enjoy today. And we think of that in terms as Canadians of what we enjoy, but it is much more true for us as believers of the great things that God has done for us. And just as Joshua and the children of Israel had these memorial stones, these stones of remembrance to remind them of what God has done, and even as we as Canadians have these different things, these cenotaphs and others that remind us of what has happened, so it is as believers that there needs to be times and places of remembrance in our lives for our own sakes and for those who come after us. That as believers who are saved not of any works or anything that we can earn, but saved by His grace, that we can testify that God has done great things for us. And He continues to do great things for us in the past, in the present, and He will in the future. That He has done these things not only for mankind as a whole, but for each of us personally. We recognize that Christ gave the greatest sacrifice of all on man's kind behalf, that He provided a way of salvation for all mankind by the shedding of His blood, by the giving of His life for us. That He has made us free, and as we trust in Him that we find that. We know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And if the Son shall make us free, ye shall be free indeed. Not from any kind of chains or bondage physically, but from the greatest chain, that chain of sin that would bring us into condemnation, that would bring us into destruction, that because of Him that we're freed from sin's penalty, from sin's power, and one day from sin's very presence, where death and sin and hell shall be swallowed up in victory. And as believers, we're reminded of His sacrifice every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's what the Lord Himself declared when He instituted. He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." That it's something that the Lord has given His people because He knows that we need to remember, that it is easy for us to forget. And so He gives this to us so we would be reminded of what He has done for us. It helps us to maintain the proper perspective. It helps us to cherish what is truly important, what is truly valuable. And it causes us to have a renewed desire to seek for, live for Him and declare unto Him for others that we don't take our salvation for granted. We realize how much it costs. It cost us nothing, but it cost Him everything. And we want to value it. We want to live for Him, for the one who died for us and rose again, and we want to share it with other people because of what He has done. And so we think of that in terms of what He has done for mankind as a whole, but we think of it as well personally, of what He has done for us. That we want to be brought into remembrance of different times. That we think of how, in terms of our own personal salvation, of Him bringing people into our lives, people who were compassionate, who had time for us, who spoke to us the truth, who lived the truth to us, that lived Christ's love, that shared with us the gospel, that stopped by and took an interest in us and were willing to show us the way of salvation, how thankful we can be for that. We can think of, as well in our lives, different troubles that we've gone through, of how the Lord has been with us. How the Lord has, we've been in a storm, but He's been with us all the way through, that we've made it through. Or sometimes when we're in the midst of trouble and we don't know what to do, He's stepped in and just changed everything. Or sometimes we have a barrier in our life, a problem that we just don't know how to tackle. And just as with the children of Israel, how God was able to push back the waters of the Jordan, that He just seems to be able to push back the problem that we have, and it's we pass through and we're able to get on the other side. And times where He gives us victory in our life over different things we struggled with so long, that we have victory. And He brings us to a place of blessing and fruitfulness. That we think of times where He did the miraculous on our behalf, that there might be many would say, oh, that wasn't that much of a miracle, that was just coincidence. But in our own heart, we know where we were and how He changed everything and He brought us to a different place. That there are different places and there's different times in our life as believers that are important events in our own history. And it's important for us that we look back on them, that we would recognize that I would not be where I am now were it not for the things God had done for me in the past. And we think of how in the history of God's people that there was many times that God's people erected memorials, that they put up different things. We think of Jacob, who set up a pillar at the place that he named Bethel. It was where he was fleeing from his brother's wrath, that he was all alone, and God met with him, that he had this dream of what we call Jacob's ladder. And he said that place was Bethel, that this was a place where God met with him. We think of Samuel, after the Philistines were coming after him, that he cried on the Lord heard him, and the Lord discomfited the Philistines and gave the victory, that he raised up what was called Ebenezer. And that means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That it was something that was to be a memorial. And so we think of in the same way that as believers that it's valuable for us to have these markers for our own sakes as well as for the sake of the generations to come. Whether it be in the sense of our physical children that we want to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as well as young Christians whom we seek to encourage in the faith. That with so many things in life, it is easy for us to get distracted, to turn our minds on other things, on the circumstances of life, to take for granted the blessings we enjoy, with not remembering the basis on which we received those blessings. We want to be able to do that, that we can have these places of remembrance, and that we can tell our children that we can share with them stories of a situation we were in that we didn't know what was going to happen, but God entered in and God changed things and God solved the problem and brought us to a greater place in our lives. We can give testimony of times we're faithful. We could think of a young believer who might be struggling with doubt and other things, that we can share with them times in our own life where we didn't know what was going to happen, but God intervened, and that they can trust God, that God's not going to leave them or forsake them. And so we want to realize that we have that opportunity, and we want to make the most of that opportunity, that there's much that has been given to us by others, and that's what we want to value as we think in so many different aspects, both as Canadians, thinking of the veterans and of what God has done. We think as well spiritually of what God has done. We realize that it is important that we remember. There's a reason why in many different places in the Scriptures the Lord says, "Beware lest thou forget." That he wouldn't give us that warning if it wasn't our tendency. That our forgetfulness can be unto us our greatest enemy, both as a nation and as believers. If we forget history, someone said we are doomed to repeat it. If we forget God and all that He has done, we find ourselves in terrible trouble that we could have avoided if only we had stayed faithful to Him. That we think of the past. We don't live in the past, but as we look back on it, it can give us hope for the future. That we think, just kind of, as with Samuel, he had that memorial he erected called Ebenezer, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." That we can testify that of times in our past where God helped us. But we have the other sense that he doesn't change. That as he helped in the past, he can help us in the future. And that we can have that confidence. That there's other different places. I know Abraham, that he set up on Mount Moriah, he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord shall provide." That it was, we can think of that, that the Lord has helped us in time to come, and the thought that He will provide for us in the future as well. So as Canadians and as believers, may we learn to remember. May we establish these stones of remembrance in our lives that will help us to remember and help provide us with the opportunity to share the stories of God's workings in the past, so that that those that come behind us might be encouraged to fear the Lord and stay faithful unto Him. As it's written in Psalm 78, it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And that is what we have a responsibility to do with each generation, that we make sure the truths are passed on so that the next generation would set their hope in God, that they would realize all the great things that He has done for us, and that He is a God that changes not, and He will do great things for us in the future. And that we keep His commandments, that we follow Him, that we cast not away our confidence, in which we have great expect of recompense of reward, that we stay faithful to Him, we follow after Him, that we never forget, so that we may continue to enjoy the blessings that God has imparted unto us. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank You for all You have done, Lord. We thank You for even the warning You give, Lord, not to forget. We pray You would help us, Lord. We are humans, and humans forget. And so we pray You might remind us of what is important. Help us that we would be committed to passing on the truths to the next generation as well, Lord. that when they ask us the meaning of different things, we would be able to give them an answer and share your truth with them. Lord, we just thank you for all you have done, Lord. We thank you for being our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. And we just pray you would continue to be with us and pray that we might always remember you and all that you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll just turn to one more hymn, number 75. Hymn number 75.